Welcome to BrightEon.tv. BrightEon.com and BrightEon.tv were created by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for the preservation of freedom of speech. Thanks to Mike and his team for making this available to all of us. My guest today, the 8th of December, 2022, is Dr. Grayson Dart. I had the opportunity to interview him back in October. It was an amazing surprise. Before the interview, I'd wondered where the conversation was going to go. And I did know that we were meant to meet since he came recommended to me from a friend, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, who's somebody I admire a great deal. Then bam, Dr. Dart says that he's gonna offer water fasting clinics from the comfort of your own home. Yes, miracle. We will find out how we can heal and recover ourselves from just about every illness with water fasting. We don't need protocols that are expensive with lots of supplements. In many cases, we can fast our way out of illness. Stay with me, we'll be right back with my interview with Dr. Grayson Dart.
At the BrightEon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at BrightEon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrightEonStore.com.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning,
Yeah, but that's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products that keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
Welcome back to BrightEon.tv. My name is Carrie Rivera, and my guest again today is Dr. Grayson Dart. Dr. Dart, thank you for joining me today. So I was so excited when we had our original interview back in October that you offered to the world water fasting from the comfort of your own home. And it's something that I've always really wanted to do, but never, you know, when I would do the fast, maybe those 80-hour fasts or something start feeling bad. And you mentioned it's probably because I was dehydrated. And it was because it was definitely in the morning after a long night in bed. And so now let's talk kind of generally to start off with, what is water fasting, Dr. Dart?
Yeah, so it's interesting because usually if you say something that you're going to fast from, you know, technically in the jargon, it would be fasting from water. But in our culture and our society and historically, it means eating and drinking nothing besides water. That's what a water fast is.
Okay, so you just, so there's no juices, there's nothing, there's just water.
Yeah, people ask me all the time, you know, can I take minerals? Am I gonna take supplements? Am I going to get depleted? And the answer is no, you literally just drink water. And, you know, we talk a lot about the type of water that you want to drink as well. So there's really three types that have been used historically and then recently. So distilled water, reverse osmosis, or spring water. Those are the three, I guess, types of water that you'd want to drink during the fast. But yeah, you take no supplements, you don't need any salt, which people think is crazy.
Yeah.
And one thing that is really important to know is that your body has an abundance of nutrients already within it. You have enough sodium, you have enough potassium, you have enough vitamin C, B vitamins, et cetera, to last you for quite a while. I mean, the average person, it's probably about 70 days without any of those nutrients. And, you know, one thing, I'm sure we'll get into this, but one of the reasons you don't want to take any nutrients is because the benefit of water fasting is the body is able to become very efficient with nutrients and the nutrients that it already has. So when you take something exogenously, you basically, in a sense, you kind of break the fast because now the body's like, oh, I can rely on this thing coming from the outside world. I can take the sodium or the potassium or whatever it might be, rather than utilizing the stores that it has within the body already.
Wow. And do you have to sleep a lot when you're doing this fasting, or can you actually be a little like go for a walk? Can you work? Can you do anything or just kind of hang around?
Yeah, I mean, it depends upon how long you're fasting, right? The longer that you fast, the more you need to rest, for sure. So people can go to work and do their regular activities of life in general if they're going to be fasting for like roughly a week. Now, if you want to do more of a prolonged fast, you know, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that's kind of the maximum that I offer is a 21-day water fast.
Okay.
You really want to rest as much as you possibly can. And the reason why is because of, you know, conservation of energy. Our bodies only have a certain amount of energy to perform certain functions. And so the more energy that goes towards walking around, working, you know, even getting on your tablet or your phone, and even just opening your eyes, you know, your brain becomes a little bit more active just from seeing and hearing things. So the more you can be still and quiet, the better the results that you are going to have.
Is it safe and can I die? I'm getting lots of questions, Dr. Dudley.
Yes,
are like, okay, what, could I die?
Yeah, I know that's the reason I laugh is because I used to think that too, right? I mean, our society is not used to fasting for any length of time, maybe longer than 24 hours, right? So, you know, if you go into it willy-nilly and you don't have supervision, it could potentially be dangerous, especially if you're on pharmaceutical drugs, which is a contraindication. You know, if you're like a type 1 diabetic or you have an eating disorder. But for the most part, if you have somebody that's supervising you, that knows what they're doing,
right,
very, very safe. I mean, we've been fasting for eons, for millions of years. I mean, it's part of biology. Every animal in nature, when they're sick or injured, they will fast. And sometimes they'll do it for weeks until they're ready to go again. So really the most important thing, and this is where the supervision comes in, is, you know, we'll have you take your vital signs every day, which is basically just blood pressure and pulse. And we want to make sure through those numbers, we take what's known as your pulse pressure, which is your systolic minus your diastolic. And we just make sure that you're well hydrated. And if you're well hydrated, it's very, very safe.
Okay. So it's really about the hydration more than it is about the food our bodies are needing.
Exactly. So the average person, okay, let's say, you know, the average male, I don't know what the average male's body fat is, but let's say you have like 15% body fat. You have enough body fat with 15% body fat to last you for 60, 70, maybe even 80 days before your body starts breaking down other vital tissue. So, and then women, same thing, you know, 60 days probably. You have enough resources to last you that long as far as nutrients, fat, protein, etc. But really what you want to avoid is dry fasting. I know sometimes in the health and healing world, certain things become popular, but I do recommend against dry fasting. You just don't want to dehydrate yourself that much. And some people dry fast for like 21 days and they do just fine. But I think long term, there is potential for damage doing it that way.
What about people, I work with a lot of moms and they have hypothyroidism, but still would like to do this. Can they still take their thyroid medication in the morning, or they can't have to get rid of that as well?
So, you know, thyroid is one of the few medications that I will allow. The other one would be insulin if you're a type 1 diabetic.
Okay.
However, most women, they can actually either dramatically decrease the amount of thyroid they need and sometimes just completely get off of it from a prolonged fast. Now, if you don't have a thyroid, you know, let's say it was ablated or surgically removed, then yes, you would need to keep taking your thyroid hormone during the fast. And we would help you to titrate that because you're going to need less during your fast for sure.
Okay, so that would be considered. So that's one of the benefits of working directly with you during the fast. So you do like let me go back one second. Fiji water is okay, or does it have to be distilled or reverse osmosis or spring?
You know, I have the philosophy of don't let perfection be the enemy of good. So if you want to go with Fiji water, that's fine. The only thing I have against Fiji water is that it's in a plastic bottle.
Okay.
And, you know, we know that like water is a solvent, and so it's going to dissolve some of that plastic, and plastic is a hormone disrupting chemical. It may not be like super duper toxic, but, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be ideal. But if you want to drink that, I'm not going to hold it against you.
Okay. So distilled might be the best way to go at that point. And how much water does a person typically consume during a water fast in a 24-hour period?
Yeah, so we start off usually around 4 liters, which is a gallon of water a day.
Okay.
And the way you drink the water is very important. I help people to understand that you don't want to drink too much too fast. So it's really, you know, there's a technique of getting the water into you in a slow manner, not enough to where you get what's known as like a kidney flush, where your kidney senses the change in blood volume and you end up just peeing that water off. So hydration numbers will actually get worse if you drink too much too quickly. So it's kind of a fine balance between drinking enough water and drinking it in the right way.
So you take maybe like little mouthfuls at a time or something?
Yeah. So, there's basically three techniques. You can do sipping, which is like every couple of minutes you take a sip of water. You can also break it down to where you do like 4 ounces every 15 minutes or 8 ounces every half hour. Now, if for some people, 8 ounces every half hour might be too much at once. So we kind of have to fine tune it. That's what the vital signs really teach us and tell us.
And so no coffee, no tea, just water.
Yeah, no coffee, no tea. Those would be considered, you know, your body is going to sense that something else besides water is coming into the body. So it's like it's not going to activate that fasting program that is built within our biology, right? It's in a sense, it's kind of nutrients. It's food that it's getting.
What are the common mistakes people would be making during a fast, like that they could mess up?
Yeah, definitely not hydrating properly is probably the number one mistake. So you're either drinking your water too fast, too soon, you're not drinking enough, maybe you drink too much too. I mean, we really want to start off about a gallon, and then as the fast progresses, you would potentially increase the amount, but you still would be drinking slowly. So that's one. Another one would be being a little too active. So I know people who want to use fasting for losing weight, they might think, hey, I'm going to like exercise during my fast, right? But it's the whole principle of conservation of energy. So if you want to cleanse and heal, you want as much energy going towards cleansing and healing rather than walking around. I would say also too is not allowing yourself to dopamine detox. So playing video games, watching TV, getting on social media a lot. Now, I'm not saying you have to just become a monk and sit there in silence 24/7, but the closer you get towards monk status, the better, I would say.
Maybe reading a book would be a good idea, maybe.
Sure, yeah, I mean, a little bit of reading, but really as much as possible, resting, eyes closed, becoming really still and quiet. To allow really that allows the emotional stuff to come up too, because you want to heal all aspects of yourself, right? Emotionally, mentally, physically. So becoming really still and quiet allows the emotions to come up. And during my supervision, I teach people certain techniques that they can do this in a way that doesn't drive them crazy, right? And then also on top of that, if you're not feeling comfortable and you want to distract yourself, go ahead and distract yourself. Get on social media, right? Read the book, play the video game if you need to. But as time goes on, try your best not to do those things.
Uh-huh. So probably the first few days you're feeling still pretty good, maybe a headache from the detox from the coffee, things like this maybe, but the first
day? You know, honestly, the most common phenomenon is the first 3 or 4 days are kind of the most challenging, because that's when the withdrawal from caffeine, the food cravings come up in the first few days too. Oh. So for me, for instance, I haven't eaten at Wendy's I can't tell you how long it's been, but I was just craving a Baconator for like 3 days in a row. And once like day three hit though, I was like, okay, that still sounds kind of good, but I'm not like dying to get it anymore, right? So those first 3 days, I think it's probably a little bit of dopamine detox going on as well. You're used to getting satisfying food all the time, and finally your body doesn't have it, so you kind of go through that withdrawal period. And then as the fast progress, there's a period of time I call the Goldilocks zone, where you actually feel really good. You have mental clarity. Your energy is really good too. And that can last, you know, anywhere from like 5 to 15 days after that initial detox that you go through. Oh. And then there is a period of time, you know, if you do a prolonged fast, many times like the last 4 or 5 days or 2 or 3 days, if you go 21 days, you can be definitely a little more fatigued, a little more tired, a little more worn out. That's when you get into the deepest part of the work, in my opinion.
And when does the sleep improve? Because I think in the beginning, the detox, because I've done an 80-day fast. I'm not done longer because I told you I wasn't drinking the water and then whatever. So, but what I did notice was I really wasn't sleeping well, like after the first day or two, the last day, I didn't sleep very well.
So do you mean an 80-hour fast? Because you said 80-day.
Sorry. 80 hours, excuse me. I did 80 hours. It was like the first day I slept really well. And then then my sleep was, I think I did 3 nights. And I think I was really, like the last night, I just kind of stayed in bed. That's why I know I didn't drink any water. And I woke up all messed up. So.
Yeah. Everybody's a little different. Some people actually sleep really good during their fast, like the whole time. Some people need less sleep. And I think it's probably a little more common that you'll actually end up sleeping less the longer that you fast, because what's interesting, you know, I don't necessarily recommend this for everybody, but I had a sleep tracking ring that I used, and it was really interesting because my body got so much deep sleep, but I only needed like 5 hours of sleep a night. But I was getting like 2 hours of deep sleep, which was very rare for me. I mean, most of the time it's like 1 to 2 hours. Max during the whole 8 hours of sleep, right? So, and then other people, they sleep really, really well. They get really deep restorative sleep. So it's kind of individualized. It's really hard to tell. There's not a ton of literature that I've seen that can really tell us how well or how poorly you're going to sleep during your fasting experience.
Are you still sleeping well? Because I know you finished your long fast in end of September, beginning of October. Are you still maintaining all those benefits?
I'm sleeping better than I've ever slept before in my life.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So yeah, this is like, this is a few months post my fast, I guess. And the reason, you know, I've been looking for the most powerful ways for people to heal their bodies. And so I've been very interested in fasting for a long time. I've done shorter fasts, but I really wanted to have some credibility where, you know, if I'm going to be guiding people on prolonged fasts and I didn't do one myself, right, then it wouldn't really make sense. So I did one several months ago, and I would say the last 2 months, my sleep has been better than it's ever been.
That's great, because I think that's one of the things that many people, I talk to so many people, and most people have terrible sleep. I mean, sleep is something that, you know, we take for granted, that it's just, you know, you go to bed and you sleep. But a lot of us go to bed and we toss and turn and up and down.
Yes.
And it's difficult. It's really a problem.
Totally. I think just modern life in general, the fake lights, you know, back in the day, I mean, just 100 years ago, right, we didn't really have electricity, we didn't have light bulbs in the house, and so it was much easier to stay in rhythm with the sun going down and the sun rising. So I think there's a lot going into it, but it is very interesting. Fasting, even just short bursts of fast, like 2 or 3 days, can reset your circadian rhythm.
Wow.
So there's a huge benefit for people who have insomnia. So that's the one most beautiful thing about water fasting, is it's kind of like a It's like the jack of all trades in natural healing. So if you want to fix your sleep, fasting can help you. If you have gut problems, fasting can help you. If you have an autoimmune disease, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, and like you said, it's basically instead of taking boatloads of supplements or, because there's a lot of different ways to reach a goal, right? There's a lot of different ways to heal, alternatively especially. But of course, water fasting is the cheapest and easiest. It's just one of the concepts that's difficult because we're not used to not eating. Since we're born, we've been eating.
Yeah, and that's why my website and my webinar is called The Lost Art of Fasting, because we used to use this as a tool. Even not that long ago, Herbert Shelton, he actually had a fasting clinic from like the 1930s to the 1980s before it got shut down. And, you know, he fasted, I think, over 20,000 people, and with miraculous results, like any condition. But with big pharma and, you know, the modern medicine and the AMA, they don't really like things that really actually reverse disease anymore. So it's what is becoming popular is the idea of intermittent fasting, where you do short bursts of fasting, or, you know, you kind of have a small eating window each day, whether that's like 8 hours or 6 hours or even one meal a day. But what's lost is the idea of prolonged fasting, fast that lasts, you know, anywhere from 5+ days. That is really the lost art.
Are we still intermittent fasting after we finish our long fast?
Yeah, so now I basically eat two meals a day. I eat like a late breakfast and try to eat an early dinner. I mean, sometimes my dinners bleed over a little bit longer, but yeah, absolutely. I think that intermittent fasting and time restricted feeding is a really good idea. I think it's very beneficial for the human body. So we can continue doing that afterwards. Absolutely.
And so with your fasting clinic, we're fasting from home, and you were saying that's actually the best way to do it instead of going to some jungle somewhere far away from home that takes you away from your family or basic responsibilities. So when you instead of staying home is the best way to go.
Well, there's pros and cons to both. You know, some people, they live in a home environment that may not be conducive to fasting for whatever reason. And so some people enjoy the idea of going away and having like the jungle experience. But then on the flip side, I think, you know, Herbert Shelton, like one of the founding fathers of prolonged fasting, his idea was the best place to fast was your own bedroom. You kind of make that the oasis. You make that the place where you can heal. And then what's cool is like you've done the healing in your own home. It's much easier, I think, to integrate a healthy lifestyle afterwards, instead of going somewhere, doing the healing and coming back and trying to implement all the new habits and different things, right? You kind of go from a new environment where you do something amazing, you come back to your home environment and the crappy food's available and your friends and your family, and it's a little bit more difficult to integrate the healthy living afterwards.
Yeah, it makes sense when you're changing your habits over that you might as well just change the house and get used to the new lifestyle in that environment as well.
Plus, I think there's power in being in your own house. And if you do have food in the pantry or in the fridge or something, to be able to say no, like, I'm not going to do that. Or if you have to cook for your kids and, like, you know, it does make it a little less comfortable. But to be able to look at the food and consciously choose, I'm not going to put that in my mouth, I think there's a power that comes with that.
Absolutely. And eventually we have to tame the beast anyway. So we might as well do it during that 21-day fast. So we're going to go to a really short break now in about a minute, and then we're going to get really into what you're offering. And of course, you've got some great videos on your website, or big great video on your website for people to watch to really get an understanding of what's involved and how you're going to work with us. So we'll get back and we'll talk more about the details of what we need to have in our house so we're ready to go, so nothing can go wrong. And of course, how often we're going to talk to you, and if there's support groups. You know, speaking of not getting into too much social media, but it's probably there's some camaraderie in between the people who you did the fasting with. Because you stay in touch with the people you fasted with in the jungle?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you go through something with at the same time with somebody else, you get a little bit of a friendship there, a lasting relationship, right? And so, I mean, it kind of with anything in life, you go through hard things. it's a bonding experience. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing this. I cannot wait. I cannot wait till it starts. It's kind of like, let just Christmas pass and New Year's, and then we start it. But it's definitely going to be something really exciting. We'll talk about who, as far as age is concerned, too. So I have a feeling it has to be somebody more adult to be able to take the conscious decision than it would be somebody that's a child. So we'll come back in about 8 seconds. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Dart and more about this lost art of fasting.
Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv. Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
Welcome back to Brighteon.tv. My name is Carrie Rivera, and my guest today is still Dr. Grayson Dart. So Dr. Dart, let's talk about you're offering your very first online water fasting clinic this January 1st, 2023?
Yeah, so we are doing a cohort starting in January. You know, I have a few people that I'm currently fasting right now, but as far as like a cohort of people, what we're going to offer is, you know, supervision from the comfort of your own home. And so, we can kind of go into the details of whatever you want to know about how that will work.
Great. So now you offer 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week, or it's just everybody kind of has to do this 4 week process?
Yeah. So basically the shortest I offer is a 1 week fast. And that way you get the most out of that 1 week. But I also recommend people, the longer you go, the more benefit you're going to have. So kind of an unwritten rule is that a 1 week fast is powerful. So let's say you do 7 days, but then a 2 week fast is twice as powerful, whereas a 3 week fast is twice as powerful as a 2 week fast. Oh. So you're getting deeper and deeper into the ancient programmings within the human body, because there's been feasts and famines for millennia, right? And nowadays in the 20th and 21st century, it's like the only time in history where you can just wake up, walk to the fridge, and you got an abundance of food ready to go all the time. And so historically, our ancestors, they were fasting quite a bit because it was always a constant hunt for food or gathering food or whatever the case might be. And so to be able to take a break from eating, which in my opinion, I think one of the reasons for disease nowadays is just a syndrome of overfeeding. We're constantly taxing our body with the process of digestion and assimilation. and we're never giving our bodies a rest to detox and to heal. And so water fasting allows you to be able to do that. And so, yes, I do 1, 2, 3, and 4 week. And the reason I do 4 weeks is because we'll do a 21-day fast with a 7-day refeed where I supervise you during the refeeding process, because that is very, very important, how you introduce food back into your system. There's a lot that goes into it.
So you don't want to just finish the fast and slam back a Baconator. That could be a bad thing, right?
Yeah, you might negate some of the benefits, and you'll feel pretty terrible as well. So you want to, the rule is to go slow and easy, and then the types of foods too. So high water content, easy to digest, low glycemic load, as whole food as possible. And we do it in a very stepwise fashion so that your digestive tract can wake back up.
Now, do we see you every day on a Zoom call, or how do we work with you? Like, we're going to see you every day or every hour?
Yeah, you'll see me every day. So there's a document that you'll fill out every morning where, you know, you'll wake up, you'll do some vital signs for yourself, you'll weigh yourself, you'll punch it into a document that I'll send you. And then every day I'll check in with you via Zoom. We'll see how you're doing, if you have any questions, and then we'll look through your vital signs, and then we can kind of tweak a few certain things. You know, we'll be able to tell if you're moving around too much, if you're not hydrated enough, and then what to do going forward. So yes, it's kind of a daily check-in, maybe 10 minutes or so.
And do you get the group together that's fasting in each, I would call it a generation, maybe, like, you know, the January group or the February group, and then people can even book in advance with you maybe for the months that are coming up too?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I would really like to do is we'll have the supervision where we check in every day, but then there will also be talks that I will give, presentations, maybe I'll have some guests come on, and then we can also do like group sessions where we all get together, see how we're all doing, ask questions, you know, talk about our struggles, what you're going through, you know. And then if in, you know, in private, you had mentioned, you know, a great idea of doing like a Telegram group where you can have free range to kind of talk and ask questions amongst the people that are fasting too, which is not a bad idea. And then if, you know, if you want to, you know, it's not like you want to complain, but it's nice to kind of just talk about the struggle, right? And so if you want to make a mention or two of something Dr. Dart said that you didn't like, that's fine as well, you know? So.
No, but there's definitely going to be a little bit of whining, because you can't whine to the doctor because you only have X number of minutes a day with the doctor. So to each other, like, oh, I'm starving, or the kids' lunch. Their lunch never looks so good, or I can see.
Yeah, like that. Exactly.
We would definitely be saying. So documents come to our email, then we print them, then we have them all ready to go. So we're ready for that period of time.
Yeah, as far as the you know, like a supply list beforehand, what you really absolutely need, and there's not very much. I mean, it's really not that much compared to some other healing protocols. You got to buy a boatload of supplements and lab tests and all kinds of crazy foods, and this is really easy. This is much simpler than what you would do usually. And then as far as like the document itself, it's pretty much a Google Doc that you can just punch in and it goes right into the cloud and I can see it. So,
okay, maybe we have to do a course on learning how to do that kind of thing.
That's pretty
one
easy.
Of my 4 days. It's like you just want to screenshot, click, paste. Yeah, that would be very, very interesting. I'm just kind of thinking of all the different possibilities of things. So what type, we need to have a scale, obviously, but is just any scale will do, or does it have to be one that measures your fat and water, or just any scale?
Just a weight scale is fine, but some people really want to know like their bioimpedance, right? Which is taking, it'll check your body fat, your lean tissue, your water content. It's not required. Mm-hmm. Some people get, because you know, the problem with bioimpedance scales is they're not super duper accurate. I mean, they give you a general picture of how much muscle you have, how much body fat you have, but some people get a little bit neurotic thinking like, oh, you know, from one day to the next, I didn't lose as much body fat as I wanted to, and it kind of messes with their head. But at the same time, if you're really interested, a bioimpedance scale might not be a bad idea either.
And what else? You get a blood pressure kit and other things like that?
A blood pressure cuff, a pulse oximeter, and then a 16-ounce glass to have your water so you can document how many glasses a day you're drinking.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, we want to make sure we're not drinking too much too soon. So it's basically like a glass an hour.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of measuring that. Maybe even get one of those little ringers on your phone to be like, drink now. I had a consult the other day and a lady said to me, I heard this, drink now. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's that? She's like, yeah, it's my phone reminding me I have to drink some water. So I guess you have things that you can put on your phone, which would make things a whole lot easier. I have a blood pressure machine that is not very accurate. Like if I do it back to back, it's totally different. So I don't know if there's certain brands that you would recommend more than others.
Yeah, there's, the name of it is, I think it's Omron. It does okay. You know, a lot of it goes into, and then I'll teach everybody too, like how to actually measure your blood pressure, because where you put it on your arm, you have to rest for a certain amount of time before you take the blood pressure. While the blood pressure is being measured, you want to relax as much as possible, not be talking, not be breathing deeply, just, you know, really relaxing. So there's a few things that can definitely make a difference. And then obviously if your cuff itself is inaccurate. And then the other thing too, like, let's say you have a really skinny arm. If you have a huge cuff, it's not going to be as accurate. If you have a bigger arm and you have a really small cuff, it's not going to be nearly as accurate either. But the real most important thing is going to be what's known as your pulse pressure. So most people that have a blood pressure cuff at home will do just fine.
Okay. And now when you were doing your fast yourself, that 1 month fast, what kind of results were people around you having, or what kind of illnesses did they have they were going to go do the fast? Well, you were doing it obviously just to kind of refine something that was already working, probably. You were probably fit to begin with. But the other people around you were probably not so fit.
Yeah, you know, the people that I fasted with, one lady had ovarian cancer, stage 3, and she had been doing some healing prior to that, and so she wanted to take it to the next level with a prolonged fast. There was a few people there that were obese and really needed to lose weight and get their health in order. Another lady had metastatic breast cancer. She was even older too. She was in her late 60s and she crushed her fast. She actually did 26 days. There was a gentleman who was 6 feet tall. He started his fast at 127 pounds. So if you think you're too light to fast, then think again, because most of the people that have a problem with gaining weight, they don't have enough nerve energy to digest and assimilate their food. So water fasting helps the body to basically revamp that system, and then you'll be able to gain the weight back properly and get to a healthy weight afterwards too. So that was a really interesting case. There was a few people there that were doing it for their mental health. One kid who had really bad eczema, he was in his 20s. He was doing it for eczema. It works really well for eczema. But there's, you know, in the literature and then just personal experience and talking with people and researching this on my own, the things it works like phenomenally for is people with high blood pressure, people with type 2 diabetes, people with obesity, and it does work really well for autoimmune conditions too. It also, you know, there's pretty good anecdotal evidence for people with cancer as well. And the reason why I think is because of the process of autophagy. Many people have heard of autophagy, which basically, you know, auto means automatic, and then phagy means eating. So you're basically eating yourself, and the part of the body that it wants to digest and use for nutrients is your energy reserves, old, dead, and diseased tissue. And of course, what's more diseased than cancer cells, right? And so that's, you know, I sent you a video not too long ago of a gentleman named Fred Evrard, who was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And he did a 21-day water fast, and his tumor, he got measured right after his 21-day water fast as well. His tumor went from 10 centimeters to 5 centimeters within 21 days. And then within 4 months, he was completely cancer-free. And has been for a couple of years now. So he used water fasting to reverse his cancer. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to work for everybody, but to see people who have actually done it is quite amazing.
Well, and he only did that 1 month, right? His body continued to digest or use up that tumor material.
Exactly. And then, you know, afterwards, he went into a really healthy lifestyle as far as his diet and other things. And that's one thing that I really want to help people to do, too, is because if you go into a water fast and then you go right back to all your old habits, you know, eventually it's going to negate the beneficial effects. So you have to change some things. And that's where some supervision and some guidance of what to do afterwards as well is really helpful. And not everybody has to do the same things, because we were talking before about how, you know, the ideal diet, I don't know if there is an ideal diet for every single person. You know, if we all ate the exact same way, would we all get the same results? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Right. And also what I think is interesting too, there's a lot of people out there that have been looking for the answers for their health issues. And as you were saying, in this case, less is more, because pretty much water fasting can reverse pretty much any of the illnesses that we're suffering from today.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful thing of it, is it's to really get to your best level of health. It is actually quite simple when you use water fasting. I mean, what's more simple than just not eating, drinking water only, and resting? Very, very simple. And then afterwards, of course, like moving your body around and exercising is super important. Of course, getting really good quality sleep, getting into the sun, being around nature, an optimal diet, good relationships with people, making sure that, you know, financially you're doing okay, and handling your stress in a way that's healthy for you too. So there's so much that goes into it, but I think water fasting is super amazing in the fact that it's a great way to just reset. Going from a certain life and habits and the way you think to doing a water fast and completely altering and changing the physiology of your body, and then going into a new way of living. I think it's a great way to get a reset for yourself.
You were mentioning also about the man who was like 125 pounds and 6 feet tall, and obviously is very, 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 very slim. And of course, the obese people that are, you know, really overweight. So when you start a water fast, the people who are really, really thin don't, of course, lose the same amount of weight that somebody has a lot of weight to lose, right? The body starts to burn up that, or the person who's really thin, they're still losing much less weight. How much weight did that person who was 120 some pounds lose?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So he ended up losing 14 or 13 pounds. Anyways, it wasn't more than 15, let's just say.
Yeah.
Whereas another gentleman that was there that was probably pushing 300 pounds, he ended up losing close to 40 pounds within 3 weeks. So yes, it's individualized. And I would say on average, the average weight loss for an individual is roughly about 11 pounds the first week, 7 pounds the second week, and 3 pounds the third week. It doesn't always follow that exactly, but that's kind of like roughly what you'll end up losing. And then if you start thin, you'll lose a lot less, of course, because your body is conserving energy and doing things a little differently. So,
do you find that the body starts to hoard the fat then at a certain point because it thinks it is in starvation, or does it still keep releasing it?
So this is really interesting. I'm glad you asked, because for the first like 3-4 days, the first 24 hours, the body's using basically glucose mostly from the digestive tract and liver glycogen. And then once it starts getting into, you know, fasting mode, it starts breaking down muscle for amino acids to convert into glucose. It's called gluconeogenesis. Then as you continue to fast, about day 4 or 5, it will switch over to mostly ketosis and will start breaking muscle tissue down less. And then about day 10 is when it maxes out in ketosis. And there will always be a little bit of muscle loss. But once you start, you know, about day 10, it's mostly fat loss that you're going to have. And so hopefully that answers your question. I kind of forgot the exact.
Yeah. Also, are you planning on putting a book out?
Eventually.
Okay.
Eventually we'll get there. You know, that there's a lot that goes into that. When I applied for medical school, there was back when I did it, at least, they don't require this anymore, but there was a section on writing actually. And that was one of my lowest scores. So I'm going to have to improve my writing skills. Maybe I'll have an editor.
Yeah. And there's also there's a lot of data out there. Like one of the books that I really enjoy is a book by Dr. Sean Baker. It's called The Carnivore Diet. And he actually, the first part is really just history. You know, like, I don't think it's really much of his own writing. It's more about the history, and he kind of weaves it together a little bit with his, you know, little intros and stuff like that. Because, of course, it's very interesting. Like you were talking about, I forget the man's name, but the one who was closed down, who was fasting, you know, 20,000 people. Like, this would be really interesting just to have, like, in the, you know, the first couple chapters about the history of and how it really was popular. And then, of course, it was closed down due to the popularity and the success of the water fasting.
Exactly.
And we talk a lot about the physical, but what about the spiritual part of this? Because you did mention that.
Yeah, definitely. There is a definite, you know, it depends on the person. You know, if a person's not really spiritually oriented, I wouldn't say that it's like automatically going to be a spiritual experience for them. However, it can be very, very spiritually enlightening for folks, because fasting religiously has been around for eons, right? It's historically been used in Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism. Of course, you know, we all know Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And, you know, speaking from personal experience, I definitely made some spiritual connections during my fast. And when I was kind of like in the deepest part where my body was really weak and, you know, I had this kind of spiritual moment where I just really appreciated life in general. It was really cool. And then when you refeed too, for me, it was an extremely spiritual experience. I don't know how else to describe the second food touches your mouth again, how grateful you can be for food once again, because you go so long without it, you forget that, wow, this is so amazing. And we take it for granted every day because we're just shoveling food down our mouth all the time. So yes, it can be very spiritually beneficial for folks.
Brushing our teeth is okay, correct? I mean, it's toothpaste, we spit it out, or you have to not brush your teeth?
So the recommendation is no toothpaste. No toothpaste. Because you don't want it, you know, the second something touches your tongue, you get the flavor, the body's going to think food is coming, and the process of digestion will kick on. So brushing your teeth with just your toothbrush, and then scraping your tongue as well will be helpful.
Oh, man. Okay. Might be one of the most difficult things, not to brush the teeth. Wow. So, okay. So now we're going to go to your website. It's Lost Art of Fasting. Yes?
Correct.
And there's a great video there that you put together. It's about 40 minutes, something like this, that people can watch and really get more of an idea what working with you or fasting with you is going to look like. And then, of course, we sign up and we... Did you pay PayPal? Oh, mass. No, pay PayPal or credit card, a place to put the.
Yeah. So there's basically I can send you a website that you fill in your card information, or you can Venmo, or you can PayPal. I mean, there's multiple ways to pay me, but we'll talk about that. You know, when someone watches the webinar, I really want them to watch the webinar to get an idea and to help them decide if this is right for them. And then, you know, you can call me. I set up a little bit of about 30 minutes where we can discuss your particular case, see if it's right for you. We decide how long you want to water fast. And then we kind of go from there.
And, oh, another question. So after the 21 days, you wake up on day 22 and you put watermelon in your mouth, or you have a glass of orange juice, or what is that first thing? And we only have a minute left, but I still forgot to ask you that.
There's options, but I really encourage people to do high water content food. So, watermelon, papaya, coconut water. Those are my top three, or you can do strawberries too. I personally prefer coconut water. It is a whole food. It just comes straight from the coconut. It tastes amazing. And then I think that people will have a bowel movement sooner if they use coconut water and watermelon too. So it's just kind of up to you. We pick a food the very first day. Then the next day you can, you know, we allow more than one food. This is that first day you only do one food at a time. So.
And you're still doing your water, your gallon of water.
Still. Yes. Yes. You're still getting hydrated as well.
Are you still doing a gallon of water a day?
Close to. Yeah. You want to still stay about the same amount of hydration. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Dr. Dart, I'm really looking forward to January 1st. It's going to be a whole new ballgame than it's been the last 3 years. I think a lot of people got under the bus with the pandemic. But thank you for your time. And everybody, go get on the website and look at the video. Thank you so much for your time today.